This is a Strevo podcast, which is a platform for women with disabilities in East Africa and small developing island states to highlight their experiences, challenges, and opportunities for strengthening their voice to actively participate in climate change policy and negotiations. Hi, my name is Susan Grace, and welcome to another episode where we unpack matters climate change and inclusivity. And in today's episode, we get to talk about empowering women with disabilities to participate in climate action and also monitoring inclusion. We've talked about some of the challenges we need to fix. We've talked about some of the strategies to put in place. But now, who is holding us accountable when it comes to implementing these things? Joining me in our sign language interpretation is Mary Mwaura. Right about now, I want to introduce this amazing, what I'd call to my figure, my story, even before we got started. And I love the energy, I love the passion that you guys have when it comes to women empowerment, climate change matters. And even before we jump into it, I'm going to start with you, Florence. You can introduce yourself for the sake of those who are seeing you for the first time.
Thank you very much, Susan. It's my honor and my pleasure to be here. And I must say that climate change and matters disability matters gender as well. It's mm-hmm. part of my life. Mm-hmm. My name is Nyambura Maina. If you like it, you can call me Florence. Mm-hmm. I work at ICASA, Gender Transformative Monitoring, Evaluation and Learning Specialist. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Wow, fantastic. Homeboy with a beautiful smile.
Thank you. I was just wondering, if I follow such a big title, what do I say? My name is Wamboi Mchaba. I like using the name Wamboi mm-hmm. as it identifies me first as African.
Come on.
And then secondly, Kenyan. Mm-hmm. You're able to even trace back to the roots mm-hmm. because that's the reason why I believe I exist, to represent Africa and mm-hmm. ensure that the voices and the culture of Africa comes out as top, mm-hmm. as a top priority in the actions that we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. Over to you, Winnie.
My name is Winnie Kinoti. I'm a policy and advocacy officer. I didn't quite know how I'll introduce myself. Mm-hmm. They said a lot. But I'm a gender champion. Mm-hmm. I would want to see us getting to a place where we no longer discuss gender from the point of women being at a disadvantage. I would want us to discuss how well mm-hmm. we could run things in Africa outside the disadvantages that women face here. Mm-hmm. So yes, that is a goal that I hope we'll attain mm-hmm. during my lifetime.
Right, so we're just going to jump straight into it. And let me start with you, Winnie, because you're very passionate about empowering the woman.
Yeah.
And today we are seeing how we can include women who are living with disabilities. Mm-hmm. What gap do you think we have as a country that needs to be filled and fixed?
Firstly, I'll say that we have a gap in education, the knowledge sharing. So as when I was coming here, I had only seen disability in one spectrum. But on attending this particular, I should call it a training because I felt like I was being trained, yeah? Mm-hmm. I saw a different spectrum when it came to women with disability. There are so many disabilities that we leave out and we don't fully comprehend. And I don't think there's a time while creating policies and when doing programs, we leave so many out. For example, when that lady who spoke that she has multiple disabilities, well, we have a gender resource center. While we were creating it, I don't think any one of us sat and thought through that. So I'll say there's a knowledge gap in that we are not very educated or very sensitized towards their needs and who they are, you know. So when we are discussing women as a country and as a people, when we speak of gender, we speak like women, like myself and you, but then they are left behind. So we are claiming we are 50 years We are now 50 years of age in trying to bring in gender, the gender birth in our country, but that race began in the 90s. So that makes it even less than 30 years younger, or 30, if we say. But then when we speak of, I think about 5 years ago is when I started hearing the discussions of disability being brought to the forefront. They were there, but now we have champions who are speaking of it in main platforms, you know. So I think we have a lot to do when it comes to knowledge sharing, educating ourselves and sensitizing ourselves around it, because there are people who have disabilities that you don't even know, like the people who are suffering bipolar. You really can't identify one. And as kids, all we knew with disability is the people who run mad in the streets. But that's not it. It is very diverse and very complex. So we need to educate ourselves, and we have the responsibility of sensitizing our society.
Yeah. And I love that you brought that up, because we mainly focus on, for lack of a better way to put it, the modern woman, the one who is educated, the one who's living in the city. But what about the one in the slum who doesn't even have a TV? What about the woman back in the shamba, back in the village? How are we also communicating to her? Let me come to you, Wambui. When you look at such events where we are coming and promoting inclusivity, how do we also make sure that people who are not living with disability also come on board? Because like Winnie was saying, this has become a learning platform, if you ask me, where we are learning and we're becoming aware of the challenges they experience that we never thought about. Like she's given an example of a lift. Is there like a braille form for, you know, those who are visually impaired? So do you think when it comes to these events where we are promoting inclusivity, we also need to spread some sort of awareness to the people who are not living with disability so they can come and learn?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And for the opportunity to ask that question. I think I want to start from something she's shared on. Mm-hmm. What is the definition of a woman? And that's something that always misses out. What's the definition of a man? Get her? And what she's also trying to bring out is, what's the definition of an African woman? Mm-hmm. Are we same? And those are things, like when I read the Constitution of Kenya, they say that we have protected the rights mm-hmm. of these people. And women is one of the groups that mm-hmm. have been identified. People with disabilities is another group. Then we have children, we have elders, we have minority and majority groups. However, we have not taken time to even look into what's the definition of people with disability and breaking it down. Because right now, when I look back into how we have been implementing the Kenyan Constitution, these people are already protected, but are we actually seeing it? And that's the reason why we are having that gap where mm-hmm. the implementers, and this is inclusive of both people with disability and people who are not with disability, mm-hmm. not being able to know how to include people with disability. And if we want to create awareness, it's because, first of all, we haven't even done research.
Florence, here we are saying now we need to start changing these narratives. And we can sit here and come up with a plan and say, you know what, maybe starting next month, we are going to go to different counties, create awareness about it. But do you think there are bodies or organizations or institutions that have been put in place to now hold people accountable to implement these things?
Yes. Thank you, Susan, for the question. And I'll want to first echo a statement that was passed to us mm-hmm. through the workshop. Mm-hmm. Someone clearly said that there is no way like living with disabilities. Fast forward, disability is not a health mm-hmm. condition. Disability is not a health condition. Mm-hmm. These are just attitudes that we give to the people that are struggling. Mm-hmm. Sure. These are just beliefs and yeah. the kind of environment we subject them to. Mm-hmm. If I do not have one hand, mm-hmm. I might not notice it until you tell me. And why do you want to keep reminding me that mm-hmm. I do not have it? Probably it is not in my conscious mind mm-hmm. because I'm able to fulfill most of the things. Mm-hmm. But once you keep telling me and giving me those attitudes, that I cannot perform as best as you do. Mm-hmm. Maybe I wash my clothes, but I take a day when you take 2 hours. Does it mean that doesn't mean I'm unable to do my work. I fulfilled it. I just took more time than mm-hmm. you. Why do you want to keep reminding me? Mm-hmm. Now, look at this. There are so many projects, so many programs that mm-hmm. are being run. Organizations, NGOs, CDOs, even the government itself, mm-hmm. we have so many implementers. These are the people we want to say they can now be held accountable mm-hmm. to try remove these attitudes, these beliefs that we keep attaching to people that mm-hmm. have some impairment that they are not able. They are only able differently. Mm-hmm. Yeah? These people can take 5 hours cleaning their clothes. I am sure you cannot bend for 5 hours. Mm-hmm. You are used to 1 hour and you are done. If that means they are able different. So now, I want to focus on people that are tasked now to elevate these people from their position. Mm-hmm. Because we want everyone to be on this table to make decisions. Mm-hmm. These implementers of programs and projects, they are the people we are looking up to. Mm-hmm. The government, the NGOs, international, local, county-based, they are all here mm-hmm. to ensure that these people, we now have a different perspective mm-hmm. of how impairments can be and how this whole thing can affect the society. Mm-hmm. Now, when you want to talk about development, remember projects and programs are there to bring us, to make us developed, mm-hmm. so to speak. Development starts from an individual level. Yeah? Oh. If I cannot help you appreciate yourself, if I cannot help you execute your daily duties, yeah. how do I expect you to be the CS and implement for the country?
That's a good point.
We need to really mm-hmm. be critical on our society. Mm-hmm. My colleagues here have really talked about the kind of position, we are positioning these disabled differently. Mm-hmm. I really want to avoid the word people with disabilities mm-hmm. because these people are really powerful. Mm-hmm.
They prefer being referred as with disabilities. Yes. That's the name they want.
Mm-hmm. They want it, but yeah. in my subconscious mind, if I want to call it so,
yeah.
because, well, I am an implementer, mm-hmm. I am a person responsible for ticking those
boxes.
The boxes. Thank you, Wambui. I want to tick I'm responsible. I'm the person responsible to ensure you tick all the boxes mm-hmm. and ensure inclusivity. Mm-hmm. The inclusivity we are discussing here today. Mm-hmm. Now, if we don't want to elevate everyone, the society will be stuck.
Yeah.
You can have 10 million, mm-hmm. but if you don't know how to spend it, it won't help you.
That's true.
If you cannot elevate people in your village, mm-hmm. if you don't care about your society, mm-hmm. become a millionaire, we won't recognize you. Let's all put effort.
And you know, I'm seeing we are very young panelists. I don't know if we're all on social media, because I also believe social media is one of the tools we have in our hands right now. But are we using it to create awareness around women who are living with disability and also matters of climate change? Winnie?
Just to begin with it, I'll say that in all this, we have cultures, and our cultures actually influence how we think and how we see things. Mm-hmm. So I'll say mostly because we are from Africa, we are African children. Mm-hmm. What does our culture say about people with disability? Because when you want to change a perspective of the people or over people, you start with their background. So you cannot start up here. Mm-hmm. We don't have data. So we start at the root, because this is not something we used to hide them in our cultures. And still today, till date, there are people who still hide them. There are organizations that focus on rescuing. It's a thing, because when you look at the fact that there are projects that are set up, we are going to rescue. That tells you it's a thing. It's a big problem. So we cannot start, as we start the conversation, we cannot start the conversation at 100. What does our culture say? So how do we shape?
Yep.
How do we shape the perspective of the people? How do we shape how they think? That mm-hmm. is where we start. So can we showcase these people at a good light? Because I was there's a project I was implementing, and I kept on saying people living with disability. And someone corrected me, told me, I don't live with disability. I live with my children. I am just disabled. And I was like, okay. So how do I respond? Do I apologize? Do I say I was ignorant? Because then this is a terminology we use. We say people living with. And then they told me, because it was a forum purely for them, they told me, we don't appreciate being told that. Because when I go home, I'm not carrying the
disability
in my handbag, and then
true.
I'm going back to my children. So I was, okay, this is a terminology that they deem wrong. But yeah. then, offensive. And when you think about it, you'll also...
It's like someone telling you you're living with poverty, and you're
like,
no,
you, no,
please.
No, no, I leave you with know? My kids. I leave. So, yeah. Yeah. So they, if we are going to start a conversation and if we are going to change the perspective of our society, because we are the young people, yeah. If you look at the demographic of the room, mm-hmm. fairly very young people, right? Right? So where do we start? What were you told about people with disability? Mm-hmm. Were they talked about? When you look at them, what do you think about?
Mm-hmm.
You
know, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
What's the first thing that comes to mind? So you start by changing yourself. And by, like today, someone approached me, someone who's deaf, and was really interested in my hair, and I couldn't have a conversation. She was like, where do you buy it? Like, where are the interpreters in this room? Because I was like, right here in the CBD. And for me, for a minute, I sat down and I was like, yo, already this just shows where we are at. You... Mm-hmm. We need to want to do better at an individual capacity, but we have to start at home. What were you taught? Let's start by changing the perspective. Because, yes, the narrative. Because just because someone is able differently does not mean that you are smarter than them. Ama, you are way better than them. So it's a cultural thing. Yeah. So if we have to change and bring the inclusivity with us, yeah. we yeah. have That's to start. Good. Let's start ground. Yes. It's more of groundwork. So let's start... groundwork from the culture, because as we have the conversation, it is good that we're, because right now I feel like we bring them in like yeah. flower girls. You know how you have flower girls? Yeah. I just ticked a box. I had the yeah. deaf. I had a da-da. Yeah, they participated. Yeah. But then if you really want to make an impact, you have to burn the whole house down. Now let's begin. Let's start from scratch. Let's dig the foundation. Let's start from there. Fold your sleeves, go to the ground. This is how we need to deal with them. Because as Wamboi said, you could wake up okay today and tomorrow it's very different, you see? So it's for most people, it's not even a choice. Something like Alzheimer's, you develop it with age.
Yeah.
Some of them, something like bipolar, you could experience. Oh, my Kikuyu is coming out.
Hey,
you could
ancestors.
Experience. My ancestors are fighting to be seen. Uh-huh. You could experience PTSD, and suddenly you have bipolar. There are also diseases that come with CTs. You could hit your head, and you could develop CTE. Yeah. Some people are really good athletes. Yeah. They develop those diseases yeah. by working out and by going to the field. So, what do you do about this? Because you could become a statistic tomorrow.
Yeah.
So what do we do? Start the groundwork.
What I'm getting from that is it's time we get out of our comfort zone. We've been too comfortable. And like you said, you could be okay today. Tomorrow it's a different story. And you know, people have this notion that I don't want to learn sign language because no one is deaf in our house. I don't need to learn about Braille because I had this idea, you know. I mean, just learn it. It's not that you're attracting that. It's just... you could find yourself in a working environment where you're dealing with somebody who's impaired when it comes to hearing, and you can't just be like, oh, I can't help them. It's not my burden, you know. I mean, let's just be intentional and get out of our comfort zone. We have less than 3 minutes to wind this up. Yes, to my figure story. Any parting shots? And I think the question I'd asked her, I will throw it to you, Mamboya, social media, if you think that it's a tool that we can use to bring the change that we desire. But for now, what is your parting shot?
Okay, I wanted to add something to her, mm-hmm. hoping the less than 3 minutes. Yeah. Something she has said.
Mm-hmm.
Let me speak about Kenya because this is the country mm-hmm. I live in. We have recognized Swahili and English as our national language.
Mm-hmm.
And we have gone ahead to say sign language. It's part of the constitution, but it has not been identified as a national language. Braille is also a type of language.
Mm-hmm.
It has not be recognized as a national language. And what she's trying to say, when we are training people English and Swahili, they're part of the subjects that are trained at school. Can we introduce those languages too? So that now every person, you see, I grew up being trained. We haven't brought international language, French, Spanish, German.
And we go for them very fast.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Because of money.
Yes.
So why can we not bring Braille and sign?
And sign language.
As part of the system.
Mm-hmm.
It's not them being included. No one said to praise the education system in Kenya. They have mm-hmm. also introduced schools and incorporated schools that cater also for people with disability mm-hmm. children. And I'm seeing majority of our local primary, in the government primary schools, I've not met secondary, but I know mm-hmm. the government primary schools have a space where these children is, who are living with disability can interact with other children.
Mm-hmm.
Because long time ago, we used to have separate schools. So when they would meet at the marketplace, finally after they finished school, they never knew how to interact.
Mm-hmm.
But now we are now teaching the young children to know that we exist. And now there's that interaction. And what has come up from what you're saying, and I think she's saying, as my parting shot, we need data. Information is missing. And that's the reason why the people with disability are being left behind.
Florence,
yes.
Close it off for us when you tell us how we can use social media as a tool to change some of these narratives we're highlighting here today.
Thank you again. I'll first note that for the longest or shortest I've been on social media, I can say that this is one of the most annoying environment, also I can say, in terms of how we respond to people, especially these people we are focusing on, people with disability. This is where most of discriminations have been noticed. This is where they have faced quite a lot. They've faced so many bitter words are being thrown anyhowly. Where we stand right now, most of the information is being passed virtually. We've had webinars. Recently, I was driving a dialogue on people with disability, and we were doing it virtually. Now, this would be my statement, urging every implementer on using the social media the right way. You know, the best you can do to these guys with disability is enabling them better do what they cannot do it right, can do, not do right now. Now, imagine we have all this information. We are doing all this research and it's not reaching them. Yes, we are collecting data, but are they even aware what we are doing? Are they even aware what we found out? They are not. If we have an intervention available, will they be aware? No, until we let them know by helping them through the interventions that we are having on projects and programs and using the social media in a polite way, in a more friendly way to them. If there are these people who are deaf, let's use the mechanisms, the technological mechanisms available, enable them to also capture the same information. The same way Nyambura can access social media. Let us help them. Let's bring all those funds together. Let's mobilize more and offer them the assistive devices they need. Social media is the way to go. However, we don't want to accept.
I love it here. Thank you so much, Florence Nyambura. Thank you so much, Wambui Moshafa. I've said your name right. And thank you so much, Winnie Kinoti. This has been so enlightening, sorry. And thank you for keeping us company. Also, thank you, Mary Mora, for your sign language interpretation. My name is Susan Grace. I will see you in the next episode as we continue to unpack matters climate change and inclusivity.